Since the start of the pandemic, cities across Ontario have seen an increase in their average rent. And while the pandemic also affected job security and left many with no income, Ontario's faced a very real risk of being evicted and thrown out to the streets.
As prices increase and the dream of affordable housing becomes a distant reality, tenants, shelter residents, first-time homebuyers, and those who are just looking for a place with a reasonable price are taking up alternative housing options. These include supportive as well as rooming houses.
So it's very, very challenging for people who want to live with us because so we get referrals from a coordinated access called the Access Point. So our referrals come through the Access Point, and the waiting list is currently around 25,000 names long.
This is part four of a six-part series, The Unhoused and the Unprepared, brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative. In this episode, I speak to my colleague Tala Hashmani about the rise in rent, its impact on Toronto housing, and alternative options home buyers are taking to survive in this booming market. I'm Katya Galati.
And I'm Tala Hashmani.
And you're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. Tala, I remember you telling me about a report published by the Canadian Mortgage and Housing Corporation. Can you please tell me what you learned from that report and why is it important for our reporting?
The Canadian Mortgage and Housing Corporation, CMHC for short, is a Crown corporation that is accountable to the Canadian Parliament. On their website, CMHC say they want to make housing affordable for all Canadians with the goal that everyone has a home they can afford by 2030. Now, what got me interested in their mission was a report they released in January 2021 about the Canadian rental market. This report said that compared to the previous year, rent in Toronto had increased by 4.7% in October 2020. It also found that vacancy rates were going up despite the construction of new condos and apartment buildings across the city.
So how do we make sense of all these numbers? It seems like there's a lot of places to stay, but the people who need them the most can't afford them.
Right. The data I mentioned was from 2020, but it's a trend that has been prominent throughout the pandemic. In recent days, CMHC released another report, this time looking into the 2021 rental market. What it found was that vacancy rates had increased for the second year in a row. Ultimately, the report showed that while the rental supply expanded, there were now less affordable units for low and middle income renters.
So, where do all the low to middle income renters go?
Right, so I spoke to Gautam Mukherjee. He's the executive director of HouseLink and Mainstay Community Housing, which is an independent nonprofit organization that provides Torontonians with subsidized housing and financial support. Here's what he had to say.
Our main focus is on the housing that we as an organization own and we rent out to our clients. And we don't do emergency homeless shelter services. We don't do transitional housing. Like, it's all permanent housing.
So how does someone come up to you if they require permanent housing and say that individual is not able to make their monthly rent payments? How do they come up to you and get into whatever program you provide?
Yeah, so it's very, very challenging for people who want to live with us because so we get referrals from a coordinated access called the Access Point, which is the centralized access in Toronto for mental health and addictions supportive housing funded by the ministry, as well as for community mental health case management services and assertive community treatment services. So our referrals come through the Access Point, and the waiting list is currently around 25,000 names long. And this is a relatively new waiting list. I don't know exactly, but I would guess, it's less than a 10-year-old waiting list. The rent, although the rent is subsidized in general, they are living in poverty and they do have ongoing financial issues and, including, difficulty paying the rent from time to time. So, when that happens, our real focus is on helping people to achieve housing stability and to retain their housing.
So what I got from that interview is that HouseLink and Mainstay provides Torontonians with a permanent place to stay. How does all that work for people who still can't afford to pay their rent? Does this organization provide assistance on that end?
That was a question I posed to Gotham, and from our conversation, I learned that HouseLink and Mainstay offers subsidized rent and financial support for a certain percentage of the tenant's income.
Subsidized rent can be tied to the apartment itself, which is a lot of what I was describing, where, you live in a unit where there's a subsidy attached to the unit. And then, as long as you live there, you pay, typically 30% of your income, sort of a thing. You and I are talking about what's a subsidy and how does it operate. But I think also there needs to be...
In my conversation with Gotham, I learned that the basic issue faced by many in Toronto is of affordability. He says that there are people who are forced out onto the streets because they do not have enough or any income at all to afford a place of their own. The city may have planned to add more spaces to the supportive housing model, but according to Gotham, the waiting list to find a supportive housing unit is upwards of 7 to 10 years. But Katya, I know you spoke to someone else advocating for the legalization of another solution. What can you tell us about that?
Right. Other options are available, but they may not be the most appealing or even legal. Rooming houses are a type of affordable housing that have been popping up around Toronto. These are units that can house five or more residents in one space for an affordable price. But while these types of living situations help low to middle income buyers, the city has so far avoided making this option a more permanent solution. I spoke to Gord Parks, the city councillor of Parkdale High Park, who is pushing for the legalization of rooming houses across Toronto.
So a rooming house is any building that has what we call dwelling rooms in it, at least five of them, and up to 25. A dwelling room is different in law than an apartment. In an apartment, you have both a kitchen and a bathroom. In a rooming house, in a dwelling room, you have either one or the other, but not both. That's the sort of technical legal definition.
Now, when it comes to this type of housing, despite there being a large market for interested tenants, their existence is met with what Councillor Parks calls a fierce and ugly opposition.
For about 12 years, I have been trying every avenue I can through City Council to make rooming houses a legally permitted form of housing throughout the entire city. So I've been working, unfortunately, unsuccessfully, to try to get City Council to vote to make them a permitted use everywhere. The most recent attempt, we came within two votes of having Council approve it. It's been sent back for yet another round of study. There's some possibility we may address this at least once more before the term of council ends this year.
Rooming houses have been a hot topic of debate for nearly a decade, and the City of Toronto is so close to making this a reality across the city. However, John Tory made the decision to delay the vote that can make rooming houses legal. Councillor Perks fears that this issue won't be brought up again before the municipal election this fall.
So the mayor, the last two times we debated rooming houses, he brought forward a motion to push the debate off to another day. And I'll be frank. He and I had some fairly sharp words about that. I felt really betrayed. I had been working with his staff and him for actually a couple of years to build some trust across the rest of the City of Toronto and other members of council to get this approved. I brought members of council from Scarborough in to go and tour rooming houses that are legal and well run in Parkdale. Countless hours answering questions from councillors who have no experience of legal rooming houses, working with city staff on how we do inspections, on how the license works, how any problems are dealt with, all of that stuff. And when we got to the debate, it became clear that it was going to be very close votes on both of those occasions. One of the ways it was divided, though, was that members of council who typically side with the mayor on most issues were the people who were the most opposed. Three of the four deputy city mayors that he's appointed were opposed very vociferously in two cases. The thing that really frustrated me is that the mayor makes his position on a whole variety of issues well known to his allies and says, I put you on the executive committee, I made you deputy mayor, I've given you all kinds of leadership roles on council, I need you to support me on this. And he was unwilling to do that on rooming houses. He did talk to councillors, but if they said no, he left it there. So I think that when the votes were coming up, it was clear that the mayor's own allies on council were going to be the people who defeated it. And rather than face that moment, the mayor pushed the debate off.
In the face of a growing crisis, it looks as though third-party nonprofits and advocates are the ones trying to provide a space for the city's most vulnerable population. For those fortunate enough to find space in rooming houses or supportive housing units, the crisis may not hit them the hardest. It's the rest of the population we have to worry about. Tenants who are overdue with their monthly rent payments, facing evictions, or individuals who've lost their jobs because of the pandemic. It's these people who would see the ugliest side of this crisis.
Tala, thank you for sharing your reporting and speaking to us on this episode.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks for spending time with us and listening to episode 4 of The Unhoused and the Unprepared, a 6-part series produced for the Local Journalism Initiative. I'm your host, Katya Galati.